Children, I want to ask you a question. 10 years and younger. What does it mean to pray? What are you doing when you pray? Anybody? Anybody? Talking with God. Okay. You can be more than 10 years old, I guess. Let's pray. Lord, you know what's on my heart, and I want to transmit that to each one of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would have a heart that's open to receive more and more and more from you. Maybe not just come to church because it's the right thing to do, but Lord, that we would purpose to draw nearer and nearer to you. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would have ears to hear and be doers of your word. For Christ's sake and his cause, what he did for us, may we give back to him. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share because of what I feel is a need here in our congregation. I'm not pointing fingers at any individual. It's by the grace of God that we are what we are, and he wants to draw us closer to himself. Like I asked that question, oh, I don't know, 2 years ago maybe I asked, are you walking as close to God as you want to? And of course, I saw some heads shaking, but that's not the answer. The question is, why aren't we closer to God? If we want to be closer with God, we can be. Okay, I'm going to begin. I have, if you want to turn, you can to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to refer there right away. I want to refer a few other things first. Let me ask you a question. Jesus was preaching to a multitude, and then the Bible says, it's in Matthew 12, I think, or Matthew 14. He constrains his disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side, probably Galilee, I'm not sure where it was. And then he sends the multitude away. And I don't know, that might have been quite a job. And, you know, being Christ, many times he had compassion on the multitude, but it was his responsibility and his duty to send them away because it was evening. What did he do next after he sent the multitude away? He went up into a mountain to pray, and it says, and I'm not going to turn there, but it says that and there he was alone. The key is he was alone. That's what I wanted to bring up on that one. One time, and again, this is quite a few years ago, this gentleman's married by now, but in our prayer group, one of those rooms back there, we were sharing some before we went into prayer, and this one young man said he finds it easier to pray with a group, a congregation. He finds it easier to pray in the presence of others than what he does when he's alone with the Lord. What he did, he was telling me or showing me, at least I felt this way, I could read through this, that he's praying because others are there to hear, and therefore it helps him in his prayer. And I could understand that. But brothers and sisters, I love to be alone with the Lord. I love when we have prayer meetings on Saturday mornings. I love those things. But I love to be alone with the Lord. James 5:13 would say, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I believe that would be to walk through life in prayer or in a communing relationship with God. And I know there's times when we need to concentrate on what we're doing or figure things out. But if our prayer life is with God, then God is helping us to make those decisions or make right decisions or figure out whatever needs to be figured out. If you're like me, why I did a lot of engineering or repair work as a welder. And one time a man brought a piece of equipment to me to be repaired. And I could see right away what the weakness was from the manufacturer. It was a weak area in this piece of machinery. So I actually drilled holes and did a lot heavier welding than what it was when it was new. And I told him so. I said, nah, that piece of machinery is stronger than what it was when it was new. But it wasn't me. It was the Lord that gave it to me to show me how to do that. Because of my relationship with him. And each one of us can have a relationship with him that's closer than what it is now. I think sometimes our relationship with the Father is revealed to others as we go through life and what interests our hearts and what we like to talk about. Not saying all the time necessarily, but do we like to strengthen each other in heavenly things, or do we like to talk about the price of corn and maybe, you know, what kind of rash you use for baby diapers and so on? Or what do we like to talk about? In Romans, it says, given to hospitality, and also says it in Timothy, given to hospitality. I think we should learn to give ourselves to prayer. I mean, purpose to walk through the day in prayer, purpose to commune with God. And when some difficulty comes up or some emergency comes up, that we have that relationship already maintained with God, that we know exactly what to do. I think it was Nehemiah when he had a sad countenance before the king. I think it was him. And the king said to him, well, why are you sad? And he was trembling because you're not supposed to be sad in front of the king. But he says, I think it says something about he prayed instantly and the Lord gave to him what he needed to ask or what he needed to do. But anyhow, he ended up going back to Jerusalem to build the wall. But his relationship with God was maintained, and he knew exactly what the Lord wanted him to do next right there in front of the king. And that was pretty instant. I think it says something like that if you look it up in Nehemiah. I didn't take time to look it up. I must admit, I was in Louisiana. We came home on Friday night. But Mary had called me. She went home earlier because of kind of an emergency in our family. One of our grandchildren died before it was born. Anyhow, she said, Raymond, by the way, you're on for the devotional message. And I thought, and I had enough of things that I was thinking about. So anyhow, on the way home and before that, I did take some time in the evenings to do some preparing, collect my thoughts together and decide what direction I'm going to go. But I must admit that a lot of the preparing was on the way home at 65 mile an hour heading for Pennsylvania. And I want that to flow from my heart because it was my heart that was crying out to God then. In Luke chapter 18, the first verse, it says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. he was giving the parable of the widow woman with the unjust judge, and it says that he got weary because of her continual coming to him. I don't really believe that God in heaven gets weary of our prayers. I think he wants our prayers. He wants more of our prayers, and he wants more earnest prayers. And I, from my own past experiences, I would say the Lord, when the Lord longs to answer our prayers, but we're not prepared for the answer. And maybe that's why we don't receive answers, or maybe we don't receive answers like we feel the Lord should answer the prayer, or the Lord answers in a different way. And all the time, God is preparing our hearts. He's changing us and drawing our hearts closer and closer to him. And that's what he wants from every one of us. Thank God for that. Philippians 3:14, you would all know this one. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. We press, that's something that must be done actively and urgently. I could write some more things here on the board. Maybe I won't take the time to do that. Fervent in spirit would be the first one. Acts 18:25 talks about being fervent in spirit. Oh, they prayed fervently. I think that was when Peter was in prison. I'm not sure on that. Romans 12:11 says, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And what does it mean to be fervent in spirit? The word fervent, I looked it up in Strong's. It says to be hot, boiling, a boiling liquid, or a glowing solid. Something that's solid and it's not boiling. And also being earnest means to be fervent in spirit. The next one would be travailing. When someone is travailing, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. It's kind of a desperation. They're desperate. One brother, one time, and he, I don't know how old he was, but he was probably a little too old to be up on a roof. And I won't mention any names. You would know him. And it was a shingle roof, and probably a new roof, I'm not sure, but he was sliding, and the grit from the sand on the shingles kept them sliding, and he kept sliding right down toward the rain spouting, and he was up pretty high. I don't know how high it was, probably on the second floor. But he cried out for help, and of course no one could help him, and he as he got to the rain spouting, he gradually stopped, and he just stood there, or not stood there, he was probably sitting down, but he just stopped. And they said, just stay there, brother, and I'll get a ladder. And they got him a ladder, and he came down. I don't know if he went up again or not. But anyhow, he was fervent. He was desperate in spirit. He got real urgent before the Lord in prayer. And you know, brothers and sisters, if we would realize the situation that this country is in, that this world is in, I think we'd get more fervent in spirit. Or are we content where we're at and we love our prosperity? And it makes us easy going. I'm going to mention a little bit about my experience down there in Louisiana these last 2 weeks. One of the mornings, they have a devotional time and quite a bit of singing among the Amish people. But one of the time they were asked, I think it was the last night, the last day that we were going to be there in the morning, they were asking, what did this event, I guess you would say, what did it do for you? And a lot of them mentioned how much fun they had and so on. And in a way, well, what was I going to say when they asked me, or when it was my turn to speak? I told them that I allowed these things to draw me nearer to the Lord, and to be able to knit hearts together with others. I went down there to be a driver. Of course, I helped on the job quite a bit. Sometimes it was that much that I had to sit down and rest for a half an hour or something like that, because I wasn't used to that kind of work. But I would not say that I was there because we were having a lot of fun. I was there because the Lord wanted me there. The Lord wanted me to be a light. Anyhow, to travail in spirit is one of the fervent in spirit, travailing. Those two kind of go together, to travail. Romans 8:26 says that there is groanings which cannot be uttered. To have such a burden in your heart, such a desperation in your heart, that you don't have any words in the English language to express what's on the heart. To groan and travail in prayer. And that's a beautiful thing. To know that there's a God that understands me way beyond my words. That's beautiful. And I would encourage that we would ask the Lord for a burden in prayer if we don't have a burden in prayer. I'm going to leave that, I guess. Another is to intercession. Interceding on behalf of others, caring that others would be saved, or meeting the needs of others. Maybe the Lord's allowing some difficulty to go through someone's life, and the Lord is allowing those things to draw that person closer to himself, and we need to intercede for others. Prevailing prayer. Well, I did... To walk through the day, yes, to walk through the day with the Lord. Intercession on behalf of others. Now, one more would be a perseverance. Perseverance is pressing and keeping on, keeping at it. Don't give up, but continue to get earnest and allowing the Lord to shape and mold our hearts in a closer walk with him. Supplication. I looked this one up in Strong's also. It's to beg, a petition and a request in prayer. To beg, Brother Denny Kennison would say, we need to be beggars. We need to get in on our knees and plead with God as a beggar would. It takes a love and to intercede for others and care about others. And to give ourselves on behalf of others and allowing God to mold and draw our hearts closer to him like a beggar would do. I have something I want to read here yet. It draws my heart in a very real way. This book here has done a lot to change my life. And there's one section in here on prayer, and I marked a few of them that I want to read to you. And allow the Lord to speak to your life, into your heart about these things. A Christian will never rise above his prayer life. A Christian will never rise. You want to know where you're at with the Lord? You want to know where your spiritual relationship is with God? Look at your prayer life. And it needs to draw closer to him. What a man is on his knees before God is all that he is and nothing more. Let's look at our own hearts. What a man is on his knees is before God is all that he is, and nothing more. The quality and the quantity of prayer directly relates to the spiritual depth of the believer. The average Christian seldom, if ever, taps into the power of prayer. Through prayer, there is power for holiness, power to love God, power to serve, power to set captives free. That would be conviction for others as well. Prayer for signs and wonders. Power for signs and wonders. Power to build Christ's kingdom and power for a revival. Prevailing prayer opens the door to Holy Ghost power. And without it, that door remains securely closed. I'm not going to read near all of them that I have marked here, but those that, if the church is not primarily a house of prayer, then she is not a house of God. We need to come to the church prayerfully. Since the relationship between God and man begins with the prayer of repentance, it can only be continued and grow through the same means. It is thoroughly unbiblical and illogical to believe that there can be a relationship with Jesus without a deep personal communication on a constant basis. We need to constantly walk in prayer and draw nearer and nearer to the Lord. We'll never regret how close we've gotten to God. But nothing takes the place of intimate communication without outside distractions. True intimacy is the place where dreams are revealed and the joys and tears of life are shared. Few Christians experience the wonder of such a relationship with Jesus because they have not chosen to develop a lifestyle of prayer. We must choose to walk with the Lord in prayer. The world today desperately needs men and women of prayer who know how to prevail with God, as David Brainerd did. When he prayed, heaven moved and hell trembled. It's a spiritual warfare, and I'm going to get into a little bit of that yet. The Lord will move or remain silent according to the prayers of his saints. Maybe that's why we have unanswered prayers. Nothing is more important to God than prayer. Prayer is likewise of great importance to people. Failure to pray is failure in all of life. One of the first things prayer accomplishes, one of the first things prayer accomplishes is the transformation of the person who prays. It changes us. He who does not pray stops the Spirit's revolutionizing power in his life. The Christian either rises or falls according to his prayer life. True prayer is an act of surrender to God. Only from the prayer closet are men and women empowered to take a city, a state, or a nation for the glory of God. He must be on the throne in our heart. Conviction comes as a result of the prayers of God's people. Where there is fervent prayer, there is deep convictions. Now, I have one more here. Two. And then we're going to go into Ephesians a little bit. Such accounts of revival are the very results of saints who passionately grab hold of the Savior in prayer. It is worth a lifetime of effort to see God rend the heavens and pour down and come down with such a holy power. Jesus continues to hold before us the power, wonderful hope of his awesome presence revealed in our day. Now this one's important also. They're all important. The Holy Spirit superabounds. He superabounds. He'll gladly do it, and he's well able with all the power necessary to awaken the church. It's the church that needs to be revived, brothers and sisters. It's not the world. The world needs to get saved. Now, there's a few comments. I just added this morning. The next chapter talks about spiritual warfare, and prayer is we're actually fighting against the powers of evil. When I find myself in fervent prayer, I also almost immediately and almost every time, I sense the enemy trying to distract me, sometimes very strongly. It seems the more earnest we get in prayer, the more the enemy is allowed to distract us, or God allows him to want to distract us. He knows that we're bringing strength or power against him, and he does not want that. And when I sense those things in a spiritual warfare, when I sense that, I sense that I'm in the will of God, and it gets strong and more earnest in my prayer life. And it draws me closer to him. Just a few more comments here. Our active participation in this war is the most important thing we can do with our lives. Our weapons are supernatural gifts to transform individuals and to transform secular society. I think I'm going to stop with that. No, I won't. If the saints will not arise to the occasion in times of peace, then the Lord will allow disaster to overtake our nation so that the revival may fall. In other words, if we can't get earnest in prayer in the times of peace, when times of calamity, and if we have to lose our jobs, or if the Antichrist takes over and we can't buy or sell, we're going to get fervent in prayer and we're going to have revival, a real revival. Divine glory falls on the church only in proportion to her hunger for his presence. True intercession flows out of people of prayer who share in the passion that drove Christ to the cross. I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're interceding for other saints as well, and praying that the Spirit of God could move on their lives as well. Brothers and sisters, we're here to build each other up. When I worked in the prison, and I might have mentioned this before, but I told them the value of the church is I might be weak in one area, and my brother is stronger than I am, and he's there to intercede for me and to lift me up. And there's areas where I'm stronger and can lift others up. We're here to build together. We're here to strengthen each other and build each other up in the name of Christ. It's so important. Maybe give ourselves to prayer. Let's kneel if you want, if you need, if you can conveniently. Lord,